Now we're back. Thanks for tuning in this Christmas Eve special. You are listening to The Drew Marshall Show, heard every Saturday between 1 and 5 here on Joy 1250. Man, was that a good time with Don Cherry or what? That was probably one of my funnest interviews. But my all-time funnest interview, my all-time funnest conversations have been with this gentleman. I'm not sure why he and I resonate so much. I remember hugging him at the airport and there was an incident. I wonder if he remembers that. We'll find out. Randy, do you remember that incident that we're talking about?
I've been trying hard to forget it, man.
Here's the deal. I'm at the airport saying goodbye to Randy Stonehill, you know, the infamous one. And he's up on the curb and I'm down off the curb. So that means he's a little taller than me. And so I go in for the hug, you know, goodbye, buddy, see you later, manly hug, right? But as I went in for this manly hug, my right leg came off the ground. It lifted up in the air. And it was probably one of the most embarrassing moments I've ever had because a guy walked past us and sort of said, hey, nice hug.
Yeah, I've been just asking the Lord to
cleanse you.
Cleanse my memory can. But yeah. That still stays with me. It's you know, a special brand of fellowship.
And, yeah.
But as long as we're not, let's just leave it alone. I just started thinking about Brokeback Mountain and going, you know, as long as we're not going there with, you know, with chaps on horseback. I think we're all right, you know. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
There's a special
blessing
for you. Huh?
Randy Stonehill, Merry Christmas.
Hey, thank you, sir.
Merry
thank
Christmas.
You so and to you, too, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And I don't, you know, you know, you can get some ointment and that lip swelling will go down and you won't talk so much like Elvis.
We had Elvis on the show today. We had, there's a gentleman named Ron Moore who sounds exactly like Elvis, and he came in and took requests. People phoned Elvis requesting.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, that's too good.
It was very good. It was smooth.
Hey,
was,
you know, so, yeah, I don't know what the deal is with the way we resonate. When I heard you talking, you know, Brad, just a moment ago about it, I thought, yeah, I think it has to do with a mutual brand of dysfunction.
Yeah, that'll work.
You know, we know how to pray for each other, you know, more specifically. Lord, just fix him. Oh, just take a fork and stick it in his ear. Just fix that man.
Do we share the same counselor? Is that the therapist? Or we?
Yeah, he has to travel extensively, too. Yeah.
So, Merry Christmas. You don't have any snow down there, do you? Do you have white sand?
Do we what?
You have white sand, at least?
We have white sand. I'm about 3 blocks from white sand in my sweet little town of Seal Beach, and that's as close to snow as I really need to get.
You're not a big fan of the winter weather, are you?
No, I mean, you know, send me a photo of it.
That'll work.
Yeah, because I'm, you know, I'm a California native, and I tell people that I pride myself, actually, on being a California weather sissy.
Yes.
If you're secure enough in your masculinity, Drew, you can say that. You know, because, I mean, I travel all year, so I'll go to, I remember going to Minneapolis, I think last January, mm-hmm. where it was 9 degrees and then wind chill like a knife.
Yeah.
And then, of course, 2 days later, I was home jogging on the beach with a big stupid grin on my face going, you know, life is challenging enough. I feel blessed that I can be here. So.
Yeah. Hey, Randy, do you have any kind of Christmas traditions in your family? Like, I know you have about 1,400 cats and dogs, but...
Yes, that's true. And sometimes we are prone to dressing them up in season.
Oh, you do not.
Yeah, hey, you know what? My wife and I say, look, you know what? We're middle-aged. We know we're nuts. But we're good neighbors. They point and laugh, so it's good for them. They can release the endorphins, you know.
Yeah.
And, we do. We have, every once in a while, there'll be like a chihuahua with antlers, things like that.
Yeah.
But a newer Christmas tradition that my wife has just conjured up, and we would have started it tonight, except she has been felled with the seasonal illness. So.
Mm.
She said, you know, honey, after we go to Christmas Eve service, what we should do is she bought us matching kind of Christmas pajamas.
Oh, no. I knew you were going to start talking about lingerie. I knew you were going to start talking about it.
Man, just go to your happy, shiny place. It's going to be all right. At least it's not skimpy, you know what I'm saying?
No, yeah.
Yeah, so we're all right. It's not gauzy.
No.
Nothing like that. No fishnet involved.
Right.
But, No, she said, look, we'll put after the Christmas Eve service, as opposed to during it.
Yes.
You know, we'll put on our Christmas, you know, jammies, and get, you know, put scarves around our necks. We'll get in the car, and we'll just tool around the community looking at Christmas lights. And then we'll, you know, we'll go back home, and we'll...
Isn't there a law against
that? Put a fire in the fire... What?
Isn't there a law against doing that? Driving around in your Christmas jammies?
You know, there might be some kind of an ordinance.
All right, so Christmas traditions, did you bring any from the family? Like anything, like, if in our family we have a freshly squeezed orange juice and we read from the Bible. That's about the only thing we do. Well, no, sorry, we start the day off with Bing Crosby singing White Christmas.
Oh, that's nice.
So those are three things we do. What else do you have any traditions at all? You got bupkis.
Yeah, we got donut holes. But our hearts are in the right place. we really don't.
You're not on the road during Christmas, you know, Christmas days and Christmas Eves and post-Christmas days, which we call Boxing Day up here in Canada. You're not on the road all the time doing stuff, are you?
No.
Okay.
No. I usually have about a 1 to 2 week break around Christmas.
Right.
And I think, you know, and now that our daughter's out of the nest, so we're empty nesters except for the mini zoo.
Hmm. How many animals do you have?
Well, we have more than should be legal. see, I can tell you that, Drew, but then I'll have
to... I know, you have to kill me.
Leave.
Yeah, thank you.
That's sad.
Yeah.
I was getting so fond of you. No, we actually have 11.
You're kidding. 11 animals?
No, that's what most people say.
What do you have? How many of what?
We have 6 dogs, 4 cats, and a California desert tortoise.
Wow.
Who is now in his special Christmas slumber. So, no, and, you know, but really, so for our Christmas, you know, like I said, if there was any kind of Christmas tradition, it just really comes down to focusing on, you know, on what's precious, you know, just the miracle of a God who, you know, knows our names and trying to find just meaningful ways to, you know, to be more giving to our friends and our neighbors, and that's really the stuff for us.
Okay, well, we're on the phone with Randy Stonehill here on the Drew Marshall Show, and Randy, what about memories of the past, Christmas memories? Any horrific ones or positive ones? You choose.
I do remember one very strange thing, because I was raised in Northern California in San Jose, and there was... you know, not what you call a big, you know, big part of the snow chain or whatever, snow belt. But there was one morning, I think when I was about 10 years old, when we got up, I mean, my brother and I got up early and excited, as kids are, you know, are prone to do. And we looked out the window, and there was just a little dusting. I think it was beyond frost. It was like just a little dusting of snow.
Wow.
And it was an amazing thing, because it's San Jose, you know, it's 50 miles south of San Francisco.
You sure it wasn't ash from the fires in California?
Hey, don't mess with my memories, Drew.
Don't wreck a good memory with facts.
Yeah,
okay.
Don't pop my bubble. No, that was a really special thing. And what was sad is that then we went out and we tried to conjure up, we tried to, I could probably stay away from that word conjure. It sounds like I'm into some occult thing. No, we tried to scoop up enough to make a snowman.
Yes.
And it, you know, it tended to look like a, you know, snowman with
a disease.
Yeah, with real sad diet problems.
Yes,
so an anorexic snowman.
Right.
For kids, it was really fun.
Yeah.
So that special. And I also remember that my mom used to set out these little kind of Christmas village scenes. And, you know, I mean, a lot of people do that. You put a mirror down and you put cotton like it's snow, and then there are areas that are open so the mirror looks like ponds, you know. And she had these cool little candles. And I think she still has them. They're probably from, like, the, you know, the 40s. Just beautiful little figures. And they were so cool that, you know, you actually didn't want to light them because then they would melt. But they were just it was just magical looking to me. And I was a little kid. I was kind of tall enough to get my nose up to... the you know, the mantle of the,
yes, the mantle.
Fireplace hearth. Mm-hmm. And I remember looking at that scene, and there was some special Christmas record that they would play every year. I don't know, it's sort of like Christmas songs from around the world. It was really exotic stuff that you usually don't hear.
Mm.
And I just remember the wonder of that feeling, the warmth in the house and the beauty of the tree. And even though, you know, I wasn't raised as a Christian, there was just something
mystical,
otherworldly.
Yeah.
I mean, in a good way. There was something that kind of haunted your heart in a godly way about that time and all those little, you know, the little things that my folks did.
Who does Randy Stonehill keep in touch with over Christmas?
Well, I'm in touch a lot with my inner child, and I keep telling him no more fire trucks.
Oh, man.
No spotted pony with this. Just leave me alone. No.
Does your inner child talk back, Randy?
Yeah, he does, and then I have to swat him.
Yeah.
And the
duality. Does he sound like Chucky at all?
Exhausted. Don't take me there. Who am I in touch with?
Yeah.
You know, it would just be kind of a smattering of old friends who have kind of walked this. I mean, beyond family, you know, old friends that have walked this music ministry road with me. My manager, Ray Ware, who is much more than a manager because he has actually been my dearest friend since we were in kindergarten. So ever since we were 5 years old. And that's special to me. And then there are guys like Billy Batstone, who did my first ever band tour, you know, in 1977. And now he's become, you know, very, very well known for praise and worship music. And he travels with Franklin Graham. Just a wonderful guy. I love hanging out backstage with him because we know all the same, you know, music through the last, you know, 40 years or whatever. But the cool thing about him is he knows all the right guitar voicings. He'll go, "Hey, Randy," he'll just start playing like some Beatles tune, and he's got the exact chording.
Wow.
Right, and I just love that. And then guys like Terry Taylor, who, you know, from the Daniel Amos band in the early 70s, and then, of course, he still travels with the Lost Dogs, Mike Rowe and Daryl Doherty. Just a brilliant producer, and so he and I will try to get together for a wee cup of nog or something.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
What about, now we're kind of doing the useless Christmas trivia stuff here. favorite and most useless Christmas present you've ever received? Your favorite and your most useless Christmas present you've ever received?
Oh, man.
Come on now.
Okay.
10 seconds.
Right. You're straining me. You're straining me. My favorite. Oh, man, I don't know.
Man, how old are you? Will you get it together?
No, that's the thing. I know. I got a lot. Look, I got 34 years of jet lag. I got dial tone going on. It's pink noise. You know, you're talking, but I'm hearing.
So, no favorite, no most useless Christmas presents. You can't think of anything.
Well.
Okay, let me give you an example while you're thinking. I asked my mom and dad for one of those ghetto blasters, right, in the 80s, that you could carry on your shoulder and look cool with, right? The huge deals, and they bought me a cassette player, flat rectangular that you find in the school library with the handle that slides out, and you know what I mean?
Remember
one of those?
Yeah, well, you know, truth be told, I think just years ago, I had a sort of a shifting of gears in my heart, and I thought being kind of stuff thing oriented, which means that I have more depth and spirituality than you, but and I'm modest.
Yes.
No, really, I just stopped thinking about things. They just became kind of useless. I mean, kind of secondary to me, and so sadly, I can't think of anything. But I will tell you this.
Yeah.
I love my mom, but you know, I was the youngest son, and so there's probably like no woman that was quite good enough for her golden child.
Right.
And so she did a thing. She did a thing. This is more information than anyone needs here. Ladies and gentlemen, just take deep cleansing breaths. But no, she did this kind of strange passive-aggressive thing about 10 years ago, and she gave my wife, Sandy, a potato masher.
Why?
For Christmas.
Why?
I think it was her way of saying, look, my son, you know, works hard to, you know, put bread on the table, and you probably should cook for him.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Like a Everyone Loves Raymond mother kind of move?
Yeah, and actually, and she hasn't done that. Yes, she has. She's done that frequently with my wife.
Oh, no.
Yeah. She gave her like a cloth that you put down to put the dishes on to let them dry.
Yeah. So are you saying that Sandy's not very domestically capable?
Oh no, I'm saying no. She's wonderful. I think this is
little digs from your mom.
I think this is a mom.
Nobody can ever take care of my baby the way I can.
Precisely.
Wow.
Precisely.
Wow.
And so my wife and my wife just kind of smiles politely and says, "Oh, well, thanks, Mom. Gee, I'm sure this will come in handy, you know."
Oh man, this is like a sitcom waiting to happen. It really is.
But let's not let it transpire.
Favorite Christmas food.
Yeah, you know what? But call me kooky, but I love that canned cranberry sauce.
Oh, you like the canned cranberry sauce?
I do. I don't know. I think it has it harkens back to some childhood thing.
Yeah.
And it just tastes wonderful. My wife makes great she makes this kind of special Christmas yam thing with brown sugar and
wow.
That's pretty rocking.
Pretty rocking.
You know, actually, see, I'm a musician, Drew, so it's like your favorite Christmas food, you go, hey, if it's free, I'm there.
Okay, so this Christmas, anything special is going to be happening? It's just going to be you and the wife driving around in your Christmas outfits. Although she's sick, so that's not going to be good.
Yeah. Right. That'll be good. Yeah, so her nose will be naturally red. They'll go, wow, what a great kind of a Rudolph.
Patience.
Very good. It's very impressive.
Now, being Sandy and Randy, do you have matching towels?
No.
But that
could happen. That could be the next thing on the list. No,
yeah.
I know. That's a little too precious. But see, her name is actually Sandra.
Right.
My name is actually Randall.
Right.
So just quit picking on me, you big Christmas bully elf. Big bullying Christmas elf.
Before we let you go, Randy, because this is supposed to be a short one, although you and I could ramble on incessantly about nothing.
We do seem to have a propensity for...
Yeah, it's a gift. Can you concisely put your testimony into like a two-minute package, like how you finally dropped your life before God?
Yeah, actually, I can. I moved to Los Angeles in June of 1970, just a young man with long hair, a guitar and a dream, Drew. And I was just going to play rock and roll and see the world. He just came crashing into my life. It's actually been a very, very precious part of my heart, precious memory, because it just showed how passionate he is about his creation and how personal he can be. Hmm. I wasn't even looking for Jesus. I was, like I said, I was just looking to, you know, play rock and roll, make money, and meet girls. And I met Larry Norman, who was also from San Jose, and he was down here in L.A. Recording for Capitol Records. Very bright, talented, passionate guy. But the deal is that he invited me. I met him through his sister in San Jose. She said, "Larry, you got to meet this kid. He's really got potential." Larry invited me to L.A. when I graduated from high school. I walked into his kitchen in, June 12th, I think, of 1970. We started talking, a casual conversation over lunch, and he just knew in his heart, I think God had, you know, told him really that I was there more for just music. You know, I was there to meet Jesus. Mm. And he'd been praying for me since we'd met we'd met briefly in San Jose a couple years earlier. And so he just, in faith, he just asked me how I was doing. He just knew that God would breathe on the situation, and I felt the Holy Spirit saying in my heart, "Yeah, how are you really doing?" And I thought, who's that? What? Who's in the room? What's going on here, you know? And so, like I said, I just talked with Larry a little bit. I said, "I don't know. I mean, how's anyone doing? We're all just free-falling through space trying to act like we're in control, you know?" And he said, "No, there's a reason we live, and there's a way home. There's a plan for your life. There's God who loves you. But he wants you, you have a free will. He wants you to meet him with an open heart, you know. So do you want to pray with me?" And I said, that was so foreign to me. I said, "Well, no, thanks, but no." He said, oh. Now the Bible says now's the time, today is the day of salvation. I mean, no man even knows the number of his heartbeats. You know, you could walk out of the house and get hit by a bus, buddy. I mean, who knows? So, but God is real, and he knows your name, and you want to pray with me now? And I said, no, leave me alone, man. I don't want to pray. But at this point, the Spirit of God was so thick in the room, Drew, I'm not kidding, that you could like cut it with a butter knife. I just went, what's going on here? I'm not, you know, this is not an acid flashback, you know, from my high school days. What is going on? So finally, again, Larry, he realized that, you know, the Lord kept tapping his shoulder saying, today's his birthday, buddy. Just keep putting the offer on the table, you know. And so Larry looked at me and he said, oh, you know, Randy, that's a shame, you know, because, see, God has everything for you. He, you know, our lives really are about, our hearts were created to love the Creator. He is the essence of life. And anything he removes from your life, he does so that he can replace it with something far better, primarily the treasure of himself. This life is about communion with God. Think of how amazingly cool what I just said is. This life is about communion with God. You want to pray with me now? And my heart was pounding so hard, I thought I was going to either pass out or fly, you know. And I finally said, okay, all right. I'm gonna find out if this is true or not. So he led me in a simple sinner's prayer, and like I said, the presence of God was so powerful that, I kid you not, this is how spiritual I can be, Drew.
Yes.
We finished praying, and under my breath, I'm actually muttering to the Lord on high. I'm going, that's enough. I believe. Please back away. I believe. Just don't come any closer, because I think I'm going to, like, explode, you know. And from that day on, I knew that, you know, that God was Jesus is exactly who he claims to be, and I started pursuing that relationship and writing little songs about it, and the Lord allowed me to be at the ground floor of this new genre called, you know, contemporary Christian music.
Hmm.
So here I am 34 and a half years later, buddy, with a smile on my face and a song in my heart and faith and joy, and yep.
Man, Randy Stonehill on the Drew Marshall Show, just kind of sharing the testimony thing. Even that word, I get the heebie-jeebies over. But basically, the initial time he surrendered his life to God. Randy, new projects. What's happening? Tell everyone what's going on in your life these days.
You know, man, it's just been a good season. Phil Keggy and I did a concert that just as a lark, we decided to have it have filmed and recorded. And it was pretty fast and loose, you know, but it came out, it was just, it's pretty musical, and it's an awful lot of fun. So there's a new DVD called Phil Keggy and Randy Stonehill Together Live.
Sweet.
And you can get that on my website or Phil's. As a matter of fact, I guess you can get it in stores now. It should be in stores as of a few months ago. There's also a live CD. And we are re-releasing Edge of the World, which was my last project, because it didn't really... I think we're just re-releasing it with more muscle and more noise to bring it some more visibility.
Sure.
So that's happening in February.
Good.
And I'm going on tour with my lovely wife, Sandy. We're going to New Zealand and Australia in April.
I sure hope you hook up with Phil Davidson over there.
I think, have you told me about him before?
Yeah, Ray and myself and you, yeah, we've talked about this guy, yeah.
Okay. But also, I just was talking to Bob Kilpatrick, who produced Edge of the World, and I finally have enough material for a Christmas record that I actually would want to make, as opposed to just putting something out because, well, you know, it's marketing. You'll sell it every Christmas. I'm going, no, that's not what Christmas is about, and that's not what my art is about. But I finally am ready to make a Christmas record, so we're going to do demos for that in January in the hopes of having it out and in stores by next fall.
Tremendous.
And so, you know, like I said, God is gracious, He keeps the song ideas percolating in my heart and in my brain pan. And
hey, if anybody can pull off a creative and tastefully done, sweet Christmas CD, it would be you.
Thank you. And what sterling taste you have in music, good
thank
sir.
You. Yes, quite right, quite right.
All and,
right.
You know, my other vision here, let me just say,
yeah,
too,
yeah.
is I hope that by God's grace, opportunity will present itself, and I'll be able to come back to Canada and do some meaningful loitering. I mean, some concerts. and see you face-to-face
yeah.
again and all of your listeners as well.
Yeah, maybe we could work on that hug thing one more time, eh?
Yeah.
Just kind of get that down a little more manly-ish.
That's right. Yeah, okay. More of a, it's kind of a hug, kind of a, yeah. a hard, you know, pat
yeah.
on the back.
Yeah, you got to have the pat and then the release.
And yeah, that's
any,
right.
Any,
pat, yeah.
any more than two pats, it's not a good thing. It's two pats, then release.
Yes, that's right. Kind of more like football players colliding just briefly.
Yes, exactly. Quite right.
Right.
All right, before we let you go, how can we pray for you? Randy, how can we pray for you, mate?
Well, buddy, I'll tell you truthfully, this is a hard season, and so like you know when you if you ask how I was, I'd say well, I'm exhausted, just the, you know the traveling and all the other you know issues of life. I'm exhausted, but I'm bemused and I'm prayerful. So I guess. I mean, I think you know, I'm not alone when I say that you know, we've got our share of dysfunction in the family tree, and just like probably most people, if they're honest.
Sure, exactly.
So you know, you know, my wife and I, that's been painful, you know, for us. We have issues with our daughter and issues with my mother-in-law, and my folks aren't believers, and they're, you know, they're very elderly, and I'm very concerned about them. So I would hope that people would pray for, I think, godly revelation in what to do and when to do it, just for relational healing.
Hmm.
I think about this, too. I think, you know, see, the devil, he never takes a day off. So if he can put the axe at the root of the tree, which, of course, is your family, then that's exactly where he's going to go with it. So I would pray, you know, like I said, for protection and for healing in the family tree. I certainly would pray that God, as I try to be a faithful steward of my work, that he would bring increase and allow just, I think, more visibility and more, you know, more success. I don't make these records just for my mom. So she does buy in volume.
That's nice.
So, you know, I do. I mean, I really do pray for that so that I don't have to be on the road all year. I
yeah.
mean, that's tough on the family. It's tough on my health, you know. So, those are really the ways to pray, that God
okay.
would bring increase in terms of the ministry vision and that he would bring, you know, healing to the, you know, to part of some of the branches on the family tree.
Hmm.
And I do want to leave you with this, though,
yeah.
because I know that this can be a hard season for a lot of people. When Christmas comes, it seems to bring the contrast of our flawed lives into, you know, sharper focus. I mean, you see the contrast more vividly between the blissful, you know, merry winter wonderland that Christmas is you know, supposed to be or touted to be in the media. And you see the contrast between that and your own brokenness and your own unresolved stuff. And I just wanted to say to everybody here as a little Christmas encouragement that, you know, like I said, you know, my wife and I look at each other in the midst of difficult seasons with, you know, like I said, the things I just mentioned. And we said, you know what, darn it, God is still God. And Christmas it reminds you of the miracle of who he is. And so let's use, ladies and gentlemen, go with me on this. Let's use the friction And sometimes the sadness and the disappointment in our own lives, let's give that to God and let him use that as a galvanizing element for us to press, you know, press in toward heaven and you know, listen for his voice and use it as an opportunity to be on our knees and to see his demonstrative hand at work in our lives. And let's also use the friction as a way of a contrast, you know, with the rest of our lives. You can kind of look at the tough stuff and be depressed about Christmas, or you can say, no, I'm going to use this to step up my prayer life, and I'm also going to use it as a reminder to count my blessings. Man, you know, God is at work in my life, and he's given me another Christmas. And at the end of the day, it's a win-win situation. Because of his faithfulness, because of heaven that came down, we end up in our lover's arms. We end up in the arms of Jesus, the lover of our souls.
Well said. Very well said. And that's a perfect segue into our next segment on the show, where we'll actually have people be phoning in for a prayer request. We've got tens of thousands of listeners, and sometimes, as I said earlier, and you've just reiterated the same thing, Randy, Christmas is not always, you know, giddy up and yee-haw for a lot of people. There's a lot of bad memories. There's some remembrance issues based around lost loved ones.
Sure.
And it's a tough time for many. You know, there's a lot of people celebrating and running around, all socializing, and there's some hurting, lonely people out there. And I've had some really hard Christmases myself, so I want to be sensitive to this, and I think what you just said was absolutely perfect, Randy. So
praise God.
I appreciate
praise
that.
Well, I'm glad. I just want to, like I said, speak the truth in love and in hope, and pray that God would use that to encourage hearts, including mine.
Yeah, for sure. Well, look, from my point of view, Randy Stonehill, you sort of stormed into my life the same way that God and Larry Norman stormed into yours a number of years ago, a couple of years ago, I think the first time we sort of connected. And I just have appreciated your ministry for so many years. And I know you get stroked from a lot of people probably, but let me just do this. Thank you for your realness, your transparency, your willingness to be vulnerable, your comedic sense of releasing the pressure that Christendom sometimes builds up. You know, you encouraged a lot of us just to lighten up and get over it and laugh at ourselves. So I appreciate that very much. And just from a guy who's just recently connected with you, you're a good mate. I love your heart, man. I really do. So God bless you.
Well, I love yours too, and it's been a privilege to be with you on the phone here, and frankly, I've got to tell you, brother to brother, man, I miss you. Talking to you on the phone makes me feel like, well, shoot, man, I got to get out there and do some more, you know, do some more touring so you and I can
hang
out.
Yeah. We got to work on that HUD, though. That's still scaring me, actually.
Yeah, we'll work on the HUD.
Okay, all right, buddy.
And when we do it, we'll talk in real low voices.
Yeah. See that Bears game the other day?
Yeah. We'll talk about sports.
Yeah.
It'll be all right.
Good stuff, mate. Hey, Randy, thank you. Merry Christmas. Please give our love to your wife as well.
I will, buddy. Blessings to you and everyone who's listening.
Thanks, mate.
Amen.
Bye-bye. Randy Stonehill on the Drew Marshall Show. Man, I'm enjoying today's show. Had some great guests. Stephen Harper, Don Cherry. My most hilarious guest ever, Randy Stonehill, and coming up at around 4:30, my most favorite guest ever, Kathy Lee Gifford. We'll get her on the phone and find out what's going on in her life over the Christmas season. But right now, we're going to open up the phone lines. We're going to take a real quick break here. We're going to open up the phone lines for you folks to call in with some prayer requests. Tens of thousands of people are listening to this show right now, and if we ask nicely, I'm sure they will talk to God on your behalf. I do this very, very rarely on the show because I don't want it to be sort of a typical cheesy Jesus show. There's nothing wrong with bringing this in right now, especially right at Christmas time. I know there's some hurting hearts out there. 905-338-1250. We'll take a short break and we'll come back with your prayer requests.